Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request, plus four text line at 410-583-1057. Andrew Voorhees last year started the season as the starting left guard for the Ravens, then went down with an injury after three games. Andrew Voorhees was on the Lounge podcast and talks about returning from yet another injury.
Yeah, I mean, last year was interesting, just dealing with what I was dealing with in terms of my injury. Last year, learned a lot of great things, and going forward, I just think it's another notch in my tool, in my tool belt that I feel like I kind of lean back on in terms of adversity and grow and learn from it.
The big thing, you know, I got with him, Bob, is, you know, can I count on you for 17, like, my whole, the rest of my offensive line, they were there from start to finish. Can I count on you? I mean, that's the biggest thing. Does he have talent and stuff? Yes. But can I count on, why do you think the Ravens were looking for a guy? You know, I mean, they were considering an old lineman at 27. So are they, to me, that means they're not totally sold. And we'll see if Emory or Jones, you know, can be that guy or no boom. You know, it sounds like he may be more the swing tackle. I would think that, Bob, the only position that there'll be competition would be at left guard. Otherwise, everything, nobody else is really fighting for a job.
Here's Voorhees on the Lounge podcast talking about his feelings. How did you play when you did play last year, Andrew?
For those three games, just wow, like it's a lot different than college. You know, you see it and it's one thing to watch it, but when you go out there and experience it for yourself for the first time or first couple of times, right, for me, it was just fast paced. It was like, wow, this is it. This is what the highest level of football's like. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
And I think, you know, that showed. And what he's got to do is take that experience that he gained and, you know, look at this year and say, okay, I've been there. Now I know what's coming. And now I know how to prepare for what's coming. And, you know, because, I mean, Bob, how early on, I think it was like this time, I mean, they already anointed him the left guard last year.
He was like the chosen one.
Yeah, everything else was up for a fight other than him. So, yeah, he's got, and his body physically looks good. Just got to stay healthy. And he looked a little like unsure of himself starting out last year. And hopefully that confidence is there this year going in.
Can he duplicate McCary's performance, or is there a higher upside if he stays healthy at left guard?
He's bigger.
I'm not saying he's going to play all five spots like McCary did, but
at guard.
At guard, yeah. Can he be better than Patrick?
Probably have a better anchor. He's a bigger man. That would be the thing. And we'll see. I mean, Bob, McCary's going to get paid, you know, and McCary stepped up because I don't think anybody thought that he could. The reason he got paid? Durability. He stayed healthy the whole year. And that's the thing. I mean, if Voorhees plays, if he stays healthy and plays all 17 games, then they've got something.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. Turn It Up Tuesday. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. You would figure as an offensive lineman, you're digging the fact that Baltimore likes to run the ball, right, Andrew Voorhees?
I mean, running the ball as an offensive lineman is awesome. Just multiple reasons, right? You just eat up the clock. You take away possessions from the opponents. You keep the chains going, and it is demoralizing to defenders when you're moving them off the ball and you're having great success.
I kind of wish he would have kind of said, instead of talking all the stats stuff, yeah, I like coming off knocking the crap out of people. That's what I like. You know, I get good angles. I get under people. I drive them, and I like pancaking dudes, you know. Kind of wish he would have been a little, instead of, it's demoralizing to other teams and stuff. You know, no, I'm going to kick some ass when I'm out there.
He didn't say that.
No, I know.
Tyler Linderbaum
That's he would have said it.
That's his sidekick. So Voorhees, what's it like playing next to an all-pro center?
Tyler, man, he's wise out there. He sees stuff that a lot of us don't necessarily see and is able to process and kind of predict stuff. So defensive coordinators are smart. They try to hide stuff and blitzes, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Tyler does a great job of sniffing it out. So it's incredible playing next to him. Just from his mental sharpness, but then obviously his physical ability as well. And you just see some of the stuff he's able to do out there, and it's just like, how? Like, so fast.
Bob, there's a big difference between O-line mentality and D-line mentality. What you're just listening to, that's definitely O-line mentality. You know, just talking about, oh, it's, you know, how he moves and, you know, he's... Sounds like a very smart, articulate dude, you know, whereas the D lineman, they'd probably be saying, you know, I'm going to go kick some ass. You know, the temperament is totally, that's an O-line temperament right there.
Now with Linderbaum, to get off topic just a second here, Hamilton, they picked up his fifth year option.
Yep.
Declined Linderbaum's. Henry's going to get an extension. Lamar's going to get an extension. Where does Linderbaum fit into this whole happy Rays mentality? Yeah.
I think the way that Eric does it, Bob, it, like you talk to all of them, and then whichever one is more willing to go, you know, quicker, or you have a, you know, let's say with Linderbaum, we got the comparables so we can get the parameters. You know, where we're in the same ballpark, wherever I'm in the same ballpark, you know, if I'm working four or five, whichever one I got the best feel for to get done right now, that's where I'm going.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, real quick. We know the Ravens drafted Tyler Loop, sixth round out of Arizona a couple weeks back to replace, we believe, Justin Tucker, who was released on May 5th. But John Hoyland was brought in, undrafted out of Wyoming. Only missed twice in 54 career attempts. Under 40 yards. Three of his four misses were from 50 yards or longer last season, whereas Loop's banging them from 70 in these Kyle Bowler like, hey, I can throw through the goalpost from my knees.
Yeah, Bob, I wasn't impressed with
Hoyland.
No, I was not impressed with. I just didn't see the leg strength. You know, I mean, yeah, you can make them inside of 40, okay. You know, I mean, that what that does is that puts a lot of pressure on your offense because, you know, you don't have any, you got to go for it, you know, and you got to plan that way. You know, basically the opposite way you were planning when you had Tucker.
Yeah.
You know, with Tucker, you get to the, 43-yard line or so?
You're in field goal range.
Right. Now you got to get to the 30.
Yeah, Cundiff wasn't a big leg per se, but... I mean, he could get it if he had to. Hauska had a big leg.
Yeah, and Gano had a huge leg.
Yeah, but, you know, Stover was accurate in, not from distance. I mean, Tucker was a weapon that few teams have had on a consistent basis in the history of this league.
I think when you're looking at kickers, Bob, wasn't last year, like, historically for over 50, it was like crazy how many people were making them over 50? And I think college guys are... doing, you know, they come in being able to do those kind of things.
Yeah, they just can't do them with the game on the line.
That's
if you watch
true.
Your games on Saturday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, count some dough, hopefully by yourself. Talk Orioles, Rock and Baco, MassinSports.com. We're 39 games into a season in which the Orioles right now bringing up the rear in the AL East. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock, talk about the schedule. The games that have been announced, if you've missed them, we'll let you know what's happening there. AL East report what's going on in the division. And Patrick Royce, Minneapolis Star Tribune, talks about the Twins. 2 weeks ago, they were one of the biggest disappointments in baseball. Now they're one of the hottest teams. Hey, maybe this is a benchmark for the Orioles.
Are you buying
great cash, homie,
or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney,
sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale. Get 60% off and a free entry door with a house of windows. Plus, pay nothing till 2027. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Tons going on in the world of sports. Got the Orioles tonight, hopefully against the Twins. start of a three-game set, trying to carry some momentum over from that series win against the Angels. NFL schedule's coming out tomorrow fully. But we're getting some games, and we'll talk about some of them later on in the program. Got the Stanley Cup NBA playoffs. Brayton is coming up on Saturday, Nine Horse Field. Hey, and ESPN's got a direct-to-consumer app you can download for $29.99 per month, unlimited. But hey, maybe we've got extra money to buy that, Vinny, by yourself.
Well, the Dow is down 205. The S&P is up 42. NASDAQ is up 283. DraftKings down 4 cents. Under Armour down 8 cents.
No Rich Eisen for you.
That's what I was going to say. This is how they're able to afford him. That or it's just going to turn into five people that work there.
Oh, my God. It's insanity. Insanity.
Well, our first topic of the day will be about tonight's game as it stands now. Weather not looking so good, but on the schedule, Cade Povich versus Simeon Woods-Richardson. That's your pitching matchup. Last week, Povich pitched in Game 1 against Minnesota, gave up 5 runs in a disastrous third inning, and he did settle in to finish 6th, but the damage was already done. The offense had no shot of coming back from that. Povich on the year, one of their more volatile pitchers in the rotation. He's far from the worst, we can say that, but you really don't know what you're getting on any particular night in terms of both runs allowed and length. I mean, he could go 3 2/3. He could go 6. You really have no idea. He's not very consistent in that regard. But buy or sell, Bob, Povich gives the O's 6 innings again tonight, but less than 5 runs.
I'll go ahead and buy that. I know Minnesota's starting to percolate here offensively because they're getting healthier in that lineup. But, I mean, he's due. We love the innings. Innings are good because the bullpen's starting to get taxed. Gives up a ton of hits and does have like that one bad inning that puts a blight on an otherwise strong performance. So I'm buying it, Nolan. He'll go 6 and less than 5, which I guess is an Orioles quality stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll go over to the NFL here. The Giants, they've been in steady decline these past few years under Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. 9 wins in 2022, down to 6 in 23, and just 3 wins last year. And that earned them a premium spot in the draft, but not necessarily an easier schedule for this upcoming season. In fact, based on win percentages from 2024, the Giants' slate of games coming up this year is actually the toughest in all of the league. Buy or sell, Vinny, New York will finish with 3 wins or less again this season.
I'll sell that. I think they'll get a little bit more. The reason their schedule's so tough, the division, you know, is tough. The key with them is going to be, like, the last half of the season, do they get better? Does Jackson Dart get better? If he's the guy and they see improvement as the season goes along, then they won't get fired. Otherwise, all of them will get fired.
Over to the NBA here, Jason Tatum, he helped the Celtics punch back in their series against the Knicks. That was over the weekend, but last night, we all know what happened. Disaster night for him. He had 42 points, but night cut short with what could be season-ending injury that could linger into next year. Nonetheless, these last two games did enough scoring to move him past his idol, Kobe Bryant. Second most playoff points by age 27. Of course, LeBron James number one there. Looking for the total, Tatum so far in his postseason career, 2,936. Now, if we want to do the career comparison with his idol, Kobe, well, Bryant had 3 rings by this point in his career. Tatum was trying to go back-to-back. That's not going to happen. Points-wise, Tatum, though, is pacing for greatness. Roughly another 2,700 in his career would move him past Kobe all-time on the postseason rankings. Mm. And as we've seen, he has yet to miss the playoffs in his 8-year career, while Kobe did have some down years in L.A., or the team did. Buy or sell, Bob, Tatum will eventually surpass his idol again when his career is done.
Yeah, I'll buy it. But Kobe came right out of high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was not the dude because he had Shaq with him. And back in those days, centers were still kind of a dominant part of your offense. And, you know, Kobe minus Shaq won himself a couple more rings with the Paul Gasol in that era. Tatum only played 1 year at Duke, right? He was one and done at Duke.
Believe so,
yeah. And he's a great player. He'll miss if what we saw last night looks like it was the Achilles. He'll be back in time for the playoffs next year. He's going to miss probably a lot of the regular season, 25, 26. But, yeah, he's young enough. Shelf life should be long enough that he'll pass Kobe. Not saying he's a better player. None of that means jack squat. But he'll pass him, sure, points-wise.
And our last topic of the day comes from the NFL, where Trey Hendrickson, his quest for a big payday, well, he's still searching for it, but doesn't appear to be on the horizon. The talks are stagnant as of late. He says the team has not communicated anything since the draft, and their offers prior to the draft earlier this offseason, as we know, nowhere close to his desired salary range. Now, this has gotten a little heated through the media more recently, but it's been going on for multiple years with him requesting trades and then coming back saying, I was just kidding, you know.
I'm good.
You know,
just joking.
I'm here. But he did have the production to back it up. Things are trending towards a camp holdout, it appears, something that's become common practice across the league. Buy or sell, Vinny, Hendrickson and the Bengals will reach week one of the regular season without a long-term deal.
I'll buy it. Just because, you know, they drafted Stewart, you know, in a first-round pass rusher. And it sounds like when you hear what Hendrickson says, they promised him, go show us that you can do it again and we'll pay you. And he did with 17 and a half sacks, and now they're backpedaling.
Yeah, they're the ones that are joking. Just kidding.
Yeah.
We thought you'd get like 12. We could afford you.
I mean, if you were going to do all that, they should have traded him before the draft.
And boy, are they're defensively challenged as it is.
Big time.
And to lose a guy in a division with Burrow, well, he plays with Burrow, but a division with Lamar Jackson and maybe Aaron Rodgers, and who knows what Shedeur Sanders could be. Well, Flacco, come on.
Yeah.
Bury the lead. Joe Flacco's in this division. Probably not a good – well, they need safeties, too.
Yeah. Well, it's a defense that give up 30 points a game almost. I mean
– with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Talk Orioles. Rockabacco, MassinSports.com. Talk about that NFL schedule. The games we know so far. Haven't heard anything about the Ravens. I think we all can guess correctly that they're going to get a ton of primetime games and probably some holiday fun. So we'll try to speculate on that a little bit more. American League East report at 1:15. A couple of games in the division last night. Full slate coming up on this Tuesday. And then Patrick Royce talked about the Red Hot Twins. Where did this come from? Twins look like one of the most disappointing teams in baseball. Hey, do I have to remind everybody who picked the Twins to win the division before the season started?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy over here with two thumbs. Not Vinny, not Nolan, me. Pointing at myself. I picked the Orioles, too, so that's another thing. All right. Royal Park Camden Yards last week. Orioles got swept there. Birds go 2-4 on said road trip. Here to talk about the Orioles. 39 games into a disappointing season so far. Let's bring in on the Window Nation guest hotline, MassinSports.com. He's Rockabacco. Rock, good afternoon. What's happening?
Hey, just waiting to drive to the ballpark, sit for a few hours, and drive back in the rain and rush hour.
We're feeling your pain. Me and Oliver just talking about that about 5 minutes ago. But, hey, doubleheaders are good. Not against the rules. Logistics, who cares about all of that stuff. Last week, Mike Elias kind of did the, like he was campaigning for office, met with the media, towards the end of the last homestand, then went on MLB This, was on the Big Bad Morning Show, went on Ryan Ripken's show as well. What was the purpose of Elias getting out in front of things? And did you have any curiosity about the timing with it?
Yeah, well, I know that the beat crew had requested the opportunity to talk to him again. And even though it had only been a few weeks before, and he obliged, and I think he realized that, you know, there are a lot of questions brewing about job security, rumblings about Brandon Hyde, coaching staff. So he probably felt like, hey, even though he didn't initiate it, it was probably a good idea to try, as you said, to get out in front of that and assure people, even though it wasn't like a long, extensive vote of confidence kind of response, it definitely showed his support. And how the issues the team's having, you can point to other areas. And, you know, he has no issues with, you know, Hyde, the lineups, things like that. But then it did seem like he was on the tour all of a sudden. I just think there have been a lot of requests. And it's like, you know, let's just do this. I mean, he doesn't approach those people. They put in the request. But would be, you know, you may as well go ahead and you know, address. You know, he knows. He knows this is one of the bigger stories in baseball is the underachieving Orioles who were supposed to be you know, World Series contender and in last place. So there's a lot of curiosity. And yeah, I think he wants to just make it clear that, you know, Brandon Hyde, among others, have his full support.
Now, tonight, the Orioles try to keep a little momentum going against the Minnesota team that swept them last week. Cade Povich on the hill. Seven starts in, 1-3, 5.55. I mean, you know the stats. The whip's about 1.5 more hits than innings pitched. Is he ever going to get to the point, Rock, where he's pitching for a spot in the rotation, or is he just going to be the back end of the rotation guy that's going to work through whatever struggles he may be having here game to game?
Yeah, I mean, I think for now, unless, you know, he really just completely melts down, he's a back rotation guy. There aren't a lot of other candidates, so there is that. And, you know, so every so often he gives you that outing where you're like, okay, this is what they're expecting from him. But he's just very inconsistent right now. And a big problem, too, is what right-handers are hitting against him versus what lefties are hitting. It's a huge discrepancy. He's got to be able to defend himself better against right-handers. But really, as long as they've got guys struggling who are in the rotation now and guys who are out that are waiting to come back, I mean, they finally got Eflin back, but they really need him in that rotation. And so I think, you know, the leash is pretty long with Cade Povich. And I'll say again, this team really misses Albert Suarez. We kind of forget about him. But, you know, he made the club in the bullpen because they didn't have the rotation spot for him. He certainly would be in it right now, I think, if he were healthy. Or he could at least give you the multi-innings out of the pen. But I think he'd be in the rotation. And losing him was a pretty big blow. And we have no update on whether he's even getting close to doing anything at this point. I think he's waiting for another MRI. So, yeah, I just feel like almost by default, Cade Povich stays in that rotation.
Rock Abaco, MassetSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get to the offense. And look, we knew the pitching with everyone healthy was going to be somewhat suspect. Maybe not this bad, but it is what it is. But the offense, downright awful at times. And Adley Rutschman going back to the second half of last year, Rock, was he hurt? Was he not hurt? Whatever, he says he wasn't. But, you know, outside opening day, really not rocking the ball, no pun intended, with any sort of authority. We were giving out grades. Keep in mind, I have my GED, so I'm one to be giving out grades. But a strong D for Adley Rutschman here so far through 39 games. Is that inappropriate? We keep hearing about expected results. I'm more of a looking at the results that have already happened kind of guy.
Yeah, I know it makes us sound like dinosaurs, but I'm with you. It's not like they have expected standings and expected World Series trophies. I mean, it's what you've done. I get that you can glean certain things out of a guy's at-bats with the expected numbers. But bottom line is the production. And, you know, people got their hopes up. He had a great spring training at the plate. He got off to that great start. He's hitting the ball to the opposite field. He's not just trying to pull everything, and he just looked like the Rutschman we had been used to before the second half of last season when he may or may not have been banged up. I'm still going with the yes, he was banged up. And then he's fallen back into where he's not being as productive, and will they lower him in the order? I think they still feel like, look, he gives us one of our best chances to have quality at-bats, and they're just waiting for him to get hot. Had a couple hits the other day, though one was the gift triple, but you take it at this point. You hope that gets him going. I mean, this offense needs it. They have the lowest average in baseball, runners in scoring position. It's been a season-long problem, and I'm sure that dates back to the second half of last season as well. And, you know, Mullins was carrying this team and then suddenly fell into this horrible slump. I think it was like 1-for-34 or something like that at one point, 1-for-35. And then now Jackson Holliday's swinging the bat really well. So that's a positive sign. But they've got to get guys going here. It just seems like they fall in these collective slumps. And it does put more pressure on the pitching because you can't afford to fall behind too much early because this team's having trouble manufacturing runs and kind of doing that pass the baton mentality of one guy reaches, next guy does, and you keep the line moving. And then guys are pressing, and they really, really miss Colton Cowser. That's another huge loss. That's the guy that'd be in the lineup every day, give you the good at-bats. I felt like he was going to really have a big season. And also Jordan Westberg was a popular pick for breakout guy, and then he's out. And I think he had a little setback with the hamstring strain. He was supposed to be working out and playing at Norfolk and hasn't yet. So they really miss him, and Arias is swinging the bat well and he gets hurt. So it's a combination of things. But yes, Rutschman absolutely is a better hitter than what he's showing. And it's just it's puzzling that he's just having so many problems here.
Hey, Rock, what's your opinion of Batista thus far?
I'd say he's looking really good. And, you know, that whole thing where he'll be back in triple digits with his velocity once the games, you know, begin to count has not happened. In fact, he got up to about 99 and then it was that little dip again where he's more 97, 98. but that's fine. I mean, 102 is awesome, but you know what? You can get a lot of guys out at 97, 98, and with that split that he has. So he looks really good, and I think they're starting to you know, lighten up a little bit on how cautious they're being with him, where, you know, he came in with a 5-run lead the other day. He only had 1 day rest. He's not gone back to back yet, but it was only 1 day rest. I know they had the off day yesterday, but I still thought that was interesting. They're not babying him as much as they had been previously. So that's, you know, soon we may see him go back to back. We've seen him warm up and not pitch 1 day and then come in the next day, which is almost like back to back, but he's looking really good. And that's huge. Now, of course, getting the lead to the ninth inning, that's the trick. Yeah, otherwise, right. It's like, you know, what good is it to have a, you know, really dominant closer when you're, you know, losing games? But at least that's worked out really well so far for them.
Hey, Fuji used to throw 105. Where is he nowadays?
Right. You know, exactly. There were plenty of guys. Jim Hoey, who was in the J.J. Hardy trade, threw hard, but it was, you could hang clothes on it. It was so straight. So there's more to it than velocity.
He's Rock Abaco, MyacinSports.com. Rock, always appreciate the time. We may or may not see you later on today down in Camden Yard.
Enjoy that rush hour traffic later, Rock.
And I will not be laying on the horn. I'll be very calm and patient. Yeah. So no problem.
Go down 295, see how that works out for you. All right, Rock. Rock Abaco, everybody, MassinSports.com. Come back, reset the program for you. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Look at the schedule, the games that have already been announced. No Ravens news yet, unless I've missed something in the last 20 minutes. We'll get into that. American League East report. And then Patrick Royce talking about the red-hot Minnesota Twins. Why are they playing so well? And can they maintain this level of excellence? NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. AL East report 115. And then Patrick Royce talking about the red hot Minnesota Twins. They won 8 in a row. 2 weeks ago, they were like the Orioles, one of the big disappointments in baseball. Obviously, the Birds are waiting for their first 3-game winning streak, much less an 8-gamer. But we'll get into that and more. But Nolan, I was kind of perusing the interweb during one of the breaks and came across the Players Tribune in the National Football League. And Ronnie Stanley just got a contract extension from the Ravens. Signed a big one after the 2019 season when he made first-team All-Pro when the Ravens had, I think, half the team made the Pro Bowl that year. Mm-hmm. But he signed the big deal. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was the first game after he signed or the next game.
2 days later.
Playing the Steelers on that Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium. Dislocated, broken ankle, all sorts of mayhem. But Ronnie goes into detail, Nolan, about the severity of said injury and why it took so long to overcome it.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff in here. You should definitely read the whole thing. But just a few notables that stuck out to me said, you know, 2 days later after signing the contract, everything changed in an instant. My ankle got rolled up on against the Steelers. Now, here's what's interesting. He says, I feel like it could have been avoided, but what can you do? Went back and watched that play. It was TJ Watt that rolled him up. Now, Lamar was being sacked on that play. Already being brought down by Stephon Tuitt. Mm-hmm. Watt blows right past him and then just barrel rolls into Ronnie's legs. Oh. So I remember there being some discourse at the time.
I'm not going to lie. I don't remember the exact
but
play.
It's interesting that he felt necessary to mention that here. It says, I basically tore up everything in my ankle besides the deltoid ligament. They put me in a cast from my hip to my toes. Couldn't bend my knee for 3 months. Couldn't even sit in a car, had to lie in the back seat if I wanted to go anywhere. Pain meds were the only thing allowing me to get any sleep. I could feel the 8 staples in my leg rubbing against the cast every Ooh. Night.
Wow. And you, now I've been in a cast from hip to toe. And your leg atrophies big time. When he came out of that cast, whatever leg it was, left or right, it was probably...
Looked like a pencil.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously the pain of the recovery was, you know, significant enough. But then once he did initially come back, it was we remember the whole saga. It lingered. It became like a 2-year thing.
Right.
That everyone thought that, all right, he's back.
Well, you saw him, Vinny, out at training camp the 1 year where he tried to come back.
Yeah, he was
laboring, yeah.
Did he say he tried to come back too quick?
Well, some... interesting comments here. It says, I'll never forget the feeling of everybody looking at me like, damn, Ronnie, you got the bag and now you're getting surgery. Do you really need it? Can't you just play through this? The narrative was basically, this dude can't fight through the pain. He doesn't love the game like that.
Ooh,
he just wants to get the money and run.
That sounds familiar.
I got the surgery, and when it was over, the doctors let me know my deltoid was indeed completely torn. I wouldn't have been able to play with that injury no matter what I tried to do. There was no amount of toughness that was going to change that and allow me to play effectively.
Yeah, I mean, that's a medical call, not a Ronnie call, you know, I mean.
But people did question his toughness and his desire to play. I remember that vividly.
Right, and that's where, you know, you have your doctor come on or whatever, you know, to explain the injury, to say how bad it was. You know, just to you got to protect your player.
Right, some other stuff here, you know, thanked a lot of people. Friends, family, teammates, mentioned Lamar a bunch in here for helping him through the rough times there. There's actually interesting, I didn't know this about him. Said that, you know, dealing with adversity in your life, when he was a kid, he had a really bad accident. Thought he was almost going to die. He had basically riding like a golf cart, and it flipped over and landed on him, broke a bunch of bones. And the doctor said, it was very close to crushing your head. But he was in a wheelchair and all casted up for a couple months after that. So adversity in life there. It's crazy.
Well, that sounds like a tough guy to me, overcoming that sort of thing, and then had his second best season. I mean, in 2019, he was best awesome. Left tackle in football. But last year really played really well and got paid handsomely for it. But I've never had staples before. Fat stitches a bazillion times. Never had staples, and rubbing on the cast, ugh. That had to be a weird feeling.
In my chest? I don't know what I had in my... It still itches.
It does. Maybe put some talcum powder on that thing. We'll come back. It's NFL Lunch. We're going to look at the games that have already been announced for the schedule of 2025. Nothing Ravens related yet.
I thought we would have got something
by now. We find out before 2 o'clock, we'll certainly share that news with you. American League East Report 115. Big injury for the Yankees. Ankle related. Unfortunate for them. But we'll get into the scores and all of that stuff. And Patrick Roycey from the Minneapolis Star Tribune talks about the red hot Minnesota Twins. They were struggling. They were stinking outside of the White Sox. They were the worst team in their division. And now they're cooking with gas. Winners of 8 in a row. They swept the Orioles last week, swept the Giants. Now coming to Baltimore looking to keep that momentum rolling. So we'll talk to Patrick there. And then we got a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2 o'clock. And then Baltimore baseball tonight at 5:30. Orioles Twinkies. We're talking about it. We're brought to you by Jerry's Home Services there here on The Fan.